This is Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Bonnie North. In the 1910s and 20s, Americans fell in love with a new art form, the motion picture. In cities throughout the country, extravagant movie palaces were built, which generally featured a single screen and included a stage for vaudeville acts. As multi-screen movie theaters came on the scene in the 1960s and 70s, these ornate palaces began to close and fall into disrepair. Over the past two decades, many of these old spaces have been brought back to life as atmospheric theaters and music venues, but each project comes with a hefty price tag. Tom Dakin covers commercial development for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He joins Lake Effect's Joy Powers to talk about some of the efforts to revitalize these century-old movie palaces and restore them to their former glory.
Being a larger metropolitan area, we have a lot of historic movie theaters because that's the way we used to do movies. I mean, your grandparents didn't generally go to multiplex cinemas. That was an innovation that occurred, or a curse if you prefer, started in roughly the 1960s and then really started expanding with mall cinemas, et cetera. So obviously you had smaller theaters, more of them, versus the current general business model of having fewer theaters but screens all clustered together. That's number one. Number two, Milwaukee's generally done a pretty good job of not knocking down historic buildings. So they're there. And people like historic theaters. I mean, people have good feelings about them. Even people our age who generally didn't go to these types of theaters, they at least like the idea. Now, the problem is the idea is one thing, the romance is one thing, the cost is quite another. They tend to be, like a lot of historic building renovation projects, very expensive. And the ones that are currently in various stages of development right now in Milwaukee and the surrounding communities, some of those might not happen because the cost barrier is so high.
When we're looking at, you know, the Grand, the Warner Grand, I guess I should say, there are other theaters called Grand that kind of up for the same kind of project. We've talked about this before, but what are they doing over at the Warner Grand? Because it's a huge project.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to have a really big impact on downtown, specifically on the west side of downtown. As a matter of fact, I dare say it's going to have as big an impact as the Avenue, the redevelopment of the Grand Avenue into the Avenue. Well, what's happening is MSO is spending $89 million to restore that beautiful, beautiful building and turn it into their performance center. They tore down a building next to it that was last a sushi restaurant, and they're building a very attractive addition to it. And it's going to be a nice blend of the historic architecture with the newer design. And it's going to be their performance center, rehearsal center. They're going to try – well, I think they will have their offices in there. They have talked about eventually redeveloping some of the upper levels of that office building that's attached to the old theater. It's all part of the same complex, but that's a little more off in the future. But yeah, it's going to have a tremendous impact on the west side of downtown. I mean, especially when you consider a few years ago what it was like walking down West Wisconsin Avenue or driving down West Wisconsin Avenue. That was a dead zone, that area. And that particular property really contributed to it because it was so large and so vacant for such a long time. Good news is Marcus Corporation did a great job of maintaining the property. Now some of these theaters have not been maintained well. That one was maintained very, very well. And fortunately, that did help make converting it easier than it would otherwise be.
I mean, it was maintained well, but still $89 million. Of course, they're doing a lot of big things there.
Right.
I mean, they're moving a whole wall to make the space bigger, which I'm sure contributes to that quite a bit.
Right. And historic renovations, I mean, they will get state and federal historic preservation tax credits to defray some of those expenses. But you accept the credits, you follow the standards, and the standards are meticulous. And the National Park Service, which runs that program, they don't mess around. You follow their rules to a T, and then you get your credits. So, yeah.
Yeah. So looking at a different Grand Theater, and this isn't really even in a proposal state, it doesn't seem like yet, but there is a group that's trying to preserve another Grand Theater.
Right. The mini Grand, the little Grand. The Grand Theater up on Holton Street in the Harambee neighborhood on Holton, right on the border of River West and Harambee. It's on Holton just about a block or so north of Locust. That theater has been closed, I think, since like maybe mid to late 70s, if I had to guess, certainly before my time, it shut down. And there's a group of residents who live in that neighborhood called the River West Investment Cooperative. And about a year ago, they got an option from the city, purchase option, to control the property while they tried to raise money to convert it into their idea was just to try and create maybe a live venue for performing arts. River West and Harambee both have a lot of musicians living there, and they thought, hey, it'd be nice to have a little bit bigger venue than what we currently have, and that's the effort that's going on there. I'm not sure that they've – how far they've progressed on that, frankly, but that's one proposal that's out there. There's sort of a somewhat similar proposal that's moved further along, and it's probably more visible, and that's the new State Theater, and that's the project on a State Street just east of North 27th. And that's probably better known to most of your listeners because up until the early 90s, that was actually a working tavern. Throughout the 80s and into the 90s, it was a club that hosted a lot of rock musicians. I mean, and these were people who were not really famous yet. They were playing relatively small venues, but, you know, let's go see Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers for $5 or whatever. I mean, it was that kind of place. And then it shut down, reopened as a strip club, did so under pretenses that the Common Council thought were deceptive, so they didn't get their license renewed, and then it just closed for good. But it's been sold to a group as of the end of last year, and they have been raising money to convert it. So that at least has progressed to the point of it being bought by this nonprofit group. They do have people involved who have good experience with development. One's a neighborhood developer who's done one or two smaller projects in the area. They have an architect involved who's well known for design. So that one's kind of moving along right now at this point. And the catch there is it would be a music venue. It would be an all ages music venue, which is something that we hear repeatedly is needed in Milwaukee. Part of the problem running an all ages music venue is it's all ages because, you know, you can't serve alcohol. So how do you make your money when you run that venue and you're not serving alcohol? That does make the economics of it a little tougher, but these folks have a business plan, and some of it involves also, I think, leasing space to various music-oriented businesses, like someone running a studio, for example, sound engineer would be in there. So they're trying to move that one forward, and they have at least taken one step with actually buying the property.
You know, we were talking about historic spaces especially. How old are most of these spaces?
Oh, gosh. Well, let's see. The new State, or what was called the State Theater, the Grand Theater up on Holton, I think those might both date back to the teens or the early 20s. The Warner Grand Theater, that may have had the misfortune of opening in 1929. Oh. Not the best of years to be opening a big new business, but I have that fixated in my brain, so I think that's correct. We haven't talked yet about the Modjeska Theater, which also is in a stage of kind of moving forward. I mean, there's been some work done, actually quite a bit of work done, just gutting all the junk out of the interior. And it's just been sort of waiting for either a theater operator or some other type of commercial use to come along to then do the additional expensive work of converting it. But the Modjeska would have opened 20s or maybe late teens. So yeah, these are all quite old. Yeah.
These are almost, if not a century old at this point.
Right, yeah.
What kind of things happen over a century, especially? I mean, you mentioned that the Warner Grand was very well kept, but a lot of these spaces have been empty a long time.
Yeah, yeah. And the biggest problem when you get a building that shuts down and it's shuttered and empty, I mean, two big problems. If you get a hole in the roof like what you had on the State Theater, for example, that's pretty dire. You start getting water in there. And the State Theater, your listeners might recall a few years ago, there was a fire that caused damage. And so that was kind of an emergency situation that if you're going to preserve the building, you got to move pretty quickly on that because you don't want holes. I mean, water starts getting in, turns into ice during the winter. You get animals in there. You can get people in there too and cause problems as well. Set it up for mischief and various bad things. So that kind of stuff happens. If you're not heating the building, which in some cases, you know, there's no longer a furnace that's operating in there, that's bad. I mean, you can get water in. It freezes, it expands, contracts. That can, yeah, cause real problems to your building.
Well, a lot of these spaces are going to have something that a modern theater or a modern movie theater likely doesn't have in the same way. They're going to have stages for vaudeville acts.
Well, yeah, live performance. I mean, that's the idea, obviously, with both the Grand on Holton, the Grand downtown, the State on State. We haven't mentioned West Bend Theater, which is literally right now going through its approval process with the Plan Commission, although they've already started some of the work there, the interior work up in downtown West Bend. Yeah, the idea in most of these is to create live venues, maybe have some limited movie showings. I know at the West Bend Theater, they're going to show some movies, but, you know, live performances and other events too, you know, weddings, corporate meetings, that kind of stuff that lends itself. I mean, the people doing these projects, in some cases, they may be a bit idealistic, but they're not stupid. They know they can't compete against, you know, AMC and Marcus for regular release movies. They're not even going to try and do that.
I think about, of course, like I live down in Bayview and we have the Avalon down there. And a lot of what they do, they show movies, but mm-hmm. they show movies that have been out for a while.
Right, right. Yeah, and that's one way you can do it. You can get your second run movies, do it for a lower price than what you would do if it were first run. I think the Avalon has a pretty well-known restaurant as part of that operation. I know Lee Barzak, the man who runs that operation, has done other restaurants in the Milwaukee area. So yeah, that's one way you can do it. And I will say this, the thing about the Avalon is some of these theaters are quote unquote atmospheric theaters. So they do have that ability to compete by offering you something different that you don't get at a typical multiplex. Well, that's what people love about the Oriental Theater, for example. It's a great atmospheric movie palace that people aren't just going there to see a movie. They are, but they're also going there because you have this cool vibe to the whole building, both inside and outside.
So, well, and the Oriental is doing its own renovations.
Right. I've written a little bit less about that. My colleague Chris Foran has written a ton about it. He's the expert on that stuff. But yeah, they're doing the needed renovations. You know, and that raises an interesting question. What about the Downer? Because before Milwaukee Film, the nonprofit group, took over the operation of the Oriental, the Oriental and Downer were both operated by Landmark Cinemas, which is the country's largest art house circuit based out of Los Angeles. And I had conversations years prior to that about the Downer with Ted Mundorf, who's then the president of Landmark, saying, you know, gee, it's normally we don't like to be in a market this size with just two theaters that have a combined, I think it might be six screens. In other words, they want more screens. Well, now they're down to the Downer Theater, which has, I think, two or three screens. It truthfully raised the question in my mind as to whether Landmark really wants to continue to operate the Downer and whether there's an opportunity there for another operator, gee, I don't know, maybe Milwaukee Film or whomever, to take over that theater at some point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, we talked about the Oriental a bit, the Grand Theater in River West, the Warner Grand Theater, and the historic West Bend Theater. Now, they just released a whole proposal. And I don't know if there's an exact answer to this question, but what is the timeline for these kinds of projects? Because it seems like, you know, they're picked up and some of them just kind of dissipate. Mm-hmm. Others, it seems like an incredibly difficult process, in part because of the historic nature of these buildings.
Right.
But also just the fun. So we're looking at a proposal for the West Bend Theater right now.
Yeah, that one's actually moving along. They the group there, it's called Historic West Bend Theater. It's a nonprofit group. People living in West Bend who wanted to preserve that building, they bought that building, it would have been in 2017. And by the end of last year, by the end of 2018, they were starting to do the interior, kind of the interior gutting. And so they've been raising funds. They've been doing work as they go along. They're at the point now where the reason they're going to the Plan Commission this week in West Bend is because they need the Plan Commission's approval for the exterior work that they're now planning to do. But they've actually already taken care of some pretty significant expenses there. They've taken care of the lead paint. They've taken care of the asbestos. Those are always your two biggest environmental concerns. And they've thrown out all the old seats. I think they had initially hoped to salvage some of them, but it was beyond repair, and they tossed all those out. So they're moving along. They hope to have the West Bend Theater. They hope to have their soft opening, honestly, by the holidays, by the Christmas holidays. New State over on the near west side on State Street, I don't know that there's a specific timeline there yet. Ditto with the Holton Street Grand Theater, which is probably the least furthest along of everything we've been talking about. Modjeska, as I mentioned earlier, they've done a fair amount of the interior demolition gutting work. They're kind of, I think, actively looking for a user, and who knows, maybe they'll have something pop there soon. And then, of course, the downtown Warner Grand Theater, that's going to be open by next fall of 2020. That's where MSO will be performing as of September of 2020.
All right. Well, I look forward to seeing all of these spaces.
Yeah, yeah.
I think they should be fun.
Yeah, it should be.
Well, Tom, thank you so much for joining us here on Lake Effect and sharing your work.
Thanks, Joy.
Tom Dakin covers commercial development for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He regularly joins us to talk about real estate. Today, he spoke with Lake Effect's Joy Powers.